Welcome to Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine. Tony and I are very excited today to talk about something we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks, actually, our trips to France in January. And this year we're not able to go, so we thought it would be wonderful to talk about it on the air.
Because we haven't shut up about it since the first of the year.
You know, it's been since 1999 that we started these trips, particularly to Châteauneuf-du-Pape in the Southern Rhone Valley in France. And, you know, these trips are just amazing. It's a time for me as a chef to really learn and grow. It's whenever I talk to guests about this, I always say, you know, it's been my continuing education. I wouldn't be the chef and wouldn't be where I am today if I hadn't had these opportunities to eat either in a winemaker's house with his or her family or along the road in a little village at some amazing little place or even all the way up to a 3-star Michelin restaurant, and which there are 71 in the world. And you know, Michelin tire company. The Michelin guide really is the tire company, and you know,
it's amazing that an idea to sell more tires,
right,
is something that's become the, you know, the premier dining guide or the premier endorsement for restaurants around the world. That's kind of a crazy thing.
And they have moved themselves to the United States. You know, they are now doing guidebooks for some of the cities in the United States, too. So, but the Michelin Guide is a great thing to have on your trip. So we would take staff in that first week of January so that, you know, if they're working at one of our French restaurants, they have the opportunity to really learn about the culture and firsthand taste the food and meet with winemakers and have that amazing opportunity to taste right out of the barrel.
Yeah, the lessons that they learn, that we learn with them, the excitement we get from them, at the table with us or in the tasting room with us, and whether it's our chief bread baker or the sous chef from one of the restaurants, mm-hmm, or one of the dining room captains or an assistant sommelier or something. It's a whole, usually it's a sort of conglomerate of different people who are professionals in what we do. And it's a super fun thing to take them through all of the thought process and some of the creative process behind what we do, and some of the inspiration that we get from what goes on in Europe. And so, yes, in a greedy way, we want to talk about being in France in January, which is where no one seems to be, right?
Right. So that's kind of one of the amazing things. If you can handle traveling in cooler weather or cold weather, because we have been in France where it has snowed, which is absolutely amazingly beautiful. And also kind of interesting because we've been in what the Côte de Beaune, Côte de Roti, I guess, where you could actually see the delineation of all the vineyards. So
like a topographical map almost. Mm-hmm. It's sort of a remarkable thing. It's also not the most... It's how many times has it snowed? Maybe three times.
Not very often.
In 13, 14 years in January.
So
it's not been the toughest travel, but we should start in a focused way because we wanted to sort of give tips on being in the different regions at different times since we have the background on that. But we should start in Paris.
All right, we fly either from Philadelphia or Dallas to Paris.
Cindy's favorite city in the world.
My favorite city in the world, without a doubt.
And so why should you travel to Paris to eat in January?
The truffles. Oh, did I say truffles? And do I always talk about them? Yes. But, you know, this is the season. So, and in January, you know, it's quiet. And, you know, again, I can't help myself. The Christmas decorations are usually still up. So the city is beautiful. The Champs-Élysées is lit up with the amazing lights on the trees along the boulevard. And so it's a magical, beautiful city. But, you know, we go to a number of different types of restaurants. Chez George is one of my favorite bistros. And, you know, they really have traditional food. So you're going to have frisée salad au lardon or pork rillette or the big pieces of turbot with béarnaise sauce and roasted potatoes and, you know, all these amazing sort of classic bistro dishes. And, you know, we also go to places that are, you know, very, very fancy and highly respected chefs. La Serre is one of my favorite 2-star Michelin restaurants, and there is a new chef there. The original chef has gone on to open his own restaurant, which is called Les Tablettes, and his name is Jean-Louis Nomikos. So that's another restaurant you could try in Paris. But La Serre is sort of a magical restaurant. The ceiling opens up, and it's a quite large ceiling and lets out sort of, they do a lot of table side there. And well, when you and I first traveled there, they used to smoke in the restaurant. So, you know, you're kind
they
of
used to smoke in every restaurant,
right,
in France when we first traveled.
Right.
There.
And, you know, the air comes in, this wonderful fresh air, and you're seeing all these guys doing all this amazing table side, and you're having some classical French cooking, yet you're having very creative, sort of updated classical French cooking at La Serre. And it's just an elegant, beautiful environment with a beautiful tabletop and amazing amazing service. And, you know, I just recently met the maitre d' there.
Tell the truth. The maitre d'hotel that was at La Serre is now where?
At Taillevin.
At Taillevin. And he reminds you of which English comic?
I can't remember his name right now.
Rowan Atkinson.
Yeah. Oh my goodness! I actually ran into the new maitre d' at Taillevin on the street when I was there this summer, and I just ran right up to him and said, "Hi, how is everything going?" And I said, "Where are you now?" Because I was just at La Serre, and I know that Monsieur Petrus is now the maitre d' there. And he said, "I can't believe you remember me, and I'm at Taillevin now." So, you know, Paris is so amazing. So if you can go there in the wintertime, go to the bistros, go to the really fancy restaurants if you can, or go to Les Deux Majeurs, which is in the Saint-Germain-des-Prés neighborhood, and sit outside with your winter coat on, and they have heaters outside, and watch the people walk by.
We're going to put up a list of a few recommended bistros mm-hmm. and a few recommended sort of grand restaurants.
I think we should.
On the YPR website, on the Farmer Wolf homepage. And if you want to email us questions, please do, about food, wine, travel, any variations of those topics, at ForemanWolf, ForemanWolf, at YPR.org. All right, Cindy, let's do a little quick rundown on three more favorite bistros and your favorite dish in those three bistros.
Benoit is just an amazing place that has been open since the early part of the 20th century. And at some point, not too long ago, Alain Ducasse took it over. And I ate there again this past summer and had the most amazing sole dish stuffed with spinach, with crawfish sauce, sweetbreads, another dish of pan-roasted sweetbreads.
This is not one dish.
No, this is another dish. Another dish with sweetbreads and foie gras en cocotte, so it comes out in a little copper pan. And I was really excited to see that they served the chicken and the pig's bladder. So what comes out, it almost looks like this sort of white balloon that comes out into the dining room, and then they burst this balloon, and inside is this amazing, you know, it's the pig's bladder that's burst, and inside is this chicken, and it's so moist and amazing. And their snails are perfection. And you really hear a lot of French speaking in these restaurants. So, you know, while I'm telling you all about them, I'm a little worried you're all going to be there, and then I won't hear the French people anymore.
No, it's, you know, I have to say that the chicken, the whole chicken roasted in the pig's bladder, is a dish that I love, and it's famous there. It's especially famous at Paul Bocuse right. down in the Lyon. I've never described to anyone something cooked in a pig's bladder who was not French that was excited about it.
Okay, I get it. But it's really good, and it's
believe us. That's what my point
yeah,
is. Believe us.
It is amazing.
All right,
Benoit is amazing.
Two more bistros.
Well, wait a minute. One more thing about Benoit. I realize it's on a shopping street, so when you do drive up, your taxi, you're going to be confused because they won't be able to drive right up to the business. So you are going to have to get out of the taxi and just walk about half a block up to the entrance to Benoit.
What about the granddaddy of all the bistros?
L'Ami Louis. Oh, my goodness. That was one of the first places we ever went to. And it's so over the top, so amazing. Yet when you go in, you're just sort of amazed because it's this old storefront that the floor is kind of like...
Well, it's not a nice
it's
street.
It's not a nice street. It's not a nice
neighborhood. Yeah.
And one of the first times we went in, we were already seated. It's a very small restaurant, probably seats, 35, 40 people? And if
not,
that
not
many.
40, yeah.
And some Americans had come in, and there was a little tussle between them and the owner, and no reservation. Oh, yes, we do. And then the next thing, they finally came to terms. The guests were going to be seated, and to watch the fur coats that the waiters ball up and throw up onto the rack way, way, way above your seat.
Coats got to be hung.
Yeah, they've got to be hung. Well, they get thrown up there.
They're thrown up onto the rack.
I think those
yeah.
people were really traumatized, but, yeah. you know, once they sat down, I'm sure they were having an amazing meal. But we have, you know, whole roasted chicken, and the, you know, when we ordered foie gras, Torino foie gras, the first time, there were just slabs of foie gras. There were I think three pieces, and it was enough for four people to eat. So, you know, the restaurant
is enough for four people to go to the hospital on.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, they have this this potato dish that is roasted potatoes, and they put, you know, 5 tablespoons of chopped raw garlic and parsley on top, and they're slow cooked in duck
somehow,
fat.
Somehow it's not offensive, this dish.
Not at all. And the potatoes are cooked in a pan from, you know, copper pan from the 1700s. I've seen the pans. I mean, it's amazing. And the kitchen is the size of a closet. And this place is just...
These cooks are not skinny.
Well, and also we've seen famous people in there. I mean, we saw, we ate there with
Robert De Niro and Billy Crystal, and we've been there with Mr. Parker at times.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's an amazing restaurant.
You can usually count on French film stars and whatnot being in there.
Exactly. It's pretty cool. But do be aware of the neighborhood and all that good stuff.
It's also a bit of the devil to get in, too.
Right. And then we always go to Notre Dame when we are in the city. We'd love to see it, love to walk around that neighborhood. It is an island in the middle of the river, so connected to Île Saint-Louis. And there's a restaurant there that Tony loves, Mon Vieil Ami.
Mm-hmm. And that's Westermann, the famous Alsace 3-star Michelin chef's bistro in Paris. Very narrow little restaurant, about 30 seats again. And there's a lapin à la moutarde, which is actually a Burgundian dish, but done in an Alsace way, rabbit with mustard sauce.
I think we had pork there one time, too.
Yeah.
It was
always
shoulder
really,
of
always
pork.
Really good cooking.
Just
and honestly,
that
restaurant is a great buy in Paris. Mon vieil ami.
Well, and, you know, Les Deux Majeaux, Chez Georges. Well, Chez Georges is actually a little bit pricey, but still, it is a bistro. So, you do know you're in Paris when you're there.
Well, we're going to have to move out of Paris. We're going to have to get into the regions in just a little bit. And when you come back on Foreman Wolf on Food and Wine, we're going to head out into Burgundy, into Alsace and Champagne and the Rhone Valley and Bordeaux and all these tasty places on Foreman Wolf on Food and Wine. We'll be right back.